was on the throne. No one else was worthy but the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. God's plan to save mankind was not just an afterthought. Before he put man on the earth, knowing that if Adam would sin, he had an advocate. He had a mediator. How many is thankful that he saved you? How many is thankful that that blood never lost its power? Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, to the book of Luke chapter 19. The Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. Luke 19, verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." Verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Lord, we thank you today that you came not just to do miracles, not just to touch the people that was in Jerusalem, Judea, in that day, but you came for us because we are in desperate need of a Savior. And today there's salvation possible, made possible, because you came with one purpose, and that was to die on the cross. And when you said it's finished and gave up the ghost, you poured out your Holy Ghost. And we're thankful for your wonderful Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around to somebody before you're seated. Just say, "Can you hear the cry of the lost? Can you hear the cry of the lost?" You may be seated. Within 2 weeks, I attended 4 funerals. One was an 84-year-old, a 67-year-old, and a 97-year-old, and then a 45-year-old. Funerals and death is unavoidable. As the Scriptures declared, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that he must face the judgment. It's one thing to die. It's another thing to die lost. The popular saying today is, "Don't judge me." And we don't have a right to judge another man's servant, but we must judge the fruit. Mercy and salvation is available today. We even have Grace Land that's here if you need it. Life here is temporal. No matter how young we are, how strong we feel, the psalmist described it this way in the 103rd Psalm, verse 15 and 16. Life, he says, "As it for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." Everybody in this room, we have loved ones. We have precious souls and friends and perhaps family members, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a nephew, a niece, that we've all been touched by death. The devil, our adversary, knows he has a short time. And while I've been asked so many times in my 37 plus years of ministry to officiate a funeral, I can tell you my first one, I'll remember it. It was a young soldier boy when my father was overseas and I was just assistant pastor, still very wet behind the ear. A young soldier who dove in the water, who didn't even know how to swim, dove in the water, was able to get a young child to the shore. And after he got the son or this young man to the shore, he realized he couldn't swim and he drowned. Then another tragic death I had was my son had a friend, and he came to Sunday school. He had two younger brothers. I think they were 3 and 5. And they were in a fire in a trailer while he was at church with us. And while he was at the house eating with us, we got the call that the trailer was on fire. Those two little precious lives were buried in the same casket. And it never gets easy. It never gets easy. The fact of death is so final. The end of life in this world. The scriptures are very clear that we will spend eternity somewhere. But the choice of where we spend eternity is up to us. We will all die, save the rapture. Not too long ago, I saw a video clip that kind of stirred me. It was a girl who was standing by a street preacher who was preaching about the need to be saved. The young girl began to scream at the street preacher saying, "Leave me alone. I want to go to hell. Leave us alone. We want to go to hell." I believe it was a cry from a young girl who the devil had her blinded so that she would do the will of him. The Bible tells us that if we're followers of Jesus, we ought to walk as he walked. This day, it's very popular to hear people say things like, "Well, see you in hell. We'll party in hell." There's even a song that said, "Highway to Hell." But they make it very clear of the ignorance that people today who refuse to believe God's word and what it says. It doesn't really matter what you or I think of hell, what it's like, or the opinions of others who perhaps even have degrees. Their mockery of what the Bible says about eternal damnation is simply unacceptable. The Word of God, this Word of God, this Bible that we hold dear, is what we believe. It was Abraham who believed God, and God rewarded Abraham because of his faith. We are here today because we have made a decision that we will believe the Word of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. So the Word of God that's been proven and has withstood the critics through the years and the ages. Let's hear what it has to say about hell. "Cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Sodom and Gomorrah are set forth as an example. The suffering, the vengeance of eternal fire. The smoke of their torment rises forever. There is no rest, day or night, in a flaming fire, inflicting vengeance upon those who know not God and that obey not the gospel. These will suffer the punishment of eternal damnation, separation from the presence of the Lord and from his glory. A lake of fire that burns with sulfur. These will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Can we afford to delay our calling and our election? None of us in this room know whether we'll have a tomorrow. We're not even promised an evening. In our text that we opened up with in Acts or Luke chapter 19, we are picking up on the story here where Jesus' response to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, somewhere along life's journey, Zacchaeus was a child of Abraham. But somewhere along the way, he found himself lost. I can tell you that this church would be filled today if those who were taught in Sunday school, those who experienced water baptism in Jesus' name, those who were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if somewhere along their walk with God, they didn't fall astray or fall away or lose their way. Does it sound a little familiar here? that Zacchaeus somehow lost his way. He found himself outside of the grace of God. As a child, this Zacchaeus must have been taught. He had to learn about the Word of God, its demands, its commands growing up. We can't be sure, at least I can't be sure of the circumstances, all the circumstances in Zacchaeus' life, but because he is a child of Abraham, I can just pretty much guarantee the fact that he somewhere had to learn. What caused him to either ignore it or to rebel against following the righteousness, choosing to become a despised tax collector? Despised especially in the time of Jesus because of the tax collectors working for the Roman Empire, was seen as a sinful figure and an ill repute, self-enriching, corrupt, traitorous to the Jewish community. Not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector, but the Bible said he was good at it. He was a chief. He knew how to come to you if you owed $100 taxes. He knew how to come to you and charge you $150. And he would take that $50 and put it in his pocket. And he would go to the next person. And guess what? He had the force of the Roman government behind him. If you didn't give him what he asked for, he had the power, the means to punish you and make it difficult for you. And everybody knew this man, this rotten man, this son of Abraham had reached a place of disgust. Nobody could stand him. You imagine as you watched him in his wealth, riding in his gold-covered chariot or whatever he had, as he would drive by, you could say, "I paid for them wheels." I can tell you today that God's not here to condemn you or to condemn those that went away. When you walk away from God, you become condemned because of your choice. But God is always available to whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord. It's important for us to understand that no matter how much wealth, no matter how many material things one possesses, it will never satisfy that empty void that's meant inside of each one of us for God. Curiosity? Possibly. That this Jesus, who is known for his compassion, his mercy, his grace, and his willingness to reach into areas where no other religious leader or follower of the law would dare to reach. Can you imagine? Is anyone here today besides me that's ever fallen away? A backslidden preacher's kid, doomed for hell. The devil reminded me every day while I was in the world chasing the things that our flesh chases after. Every day, the enemy reminded me of the times, how many opportunities I had to hear great preaching, feel the presence of God and the glory of God, that now, because I had so many chances, it was blown, and you might as well just enjoy life because you're on your way to hell. That was me. I believed that lie, that God could never forgive me, God could never love me. And I want to tell you today, the devil wants you to feel like it's gone, it's over, you're finished. But I'm here to tell you there's a Jesus in the house today. He wants to not only save you, but your children, your children's children. God's just not only interested in hillbillies. He's interested in souls. I came to Kenny Road. Pastor had Parkinson's. The church had dwindled down. The church had come to the conclusion, some of the board members were saying, we can't survive as an apostolic church. Our best chance is maybe we can find a couple churches meeting in a garage somewhere, and they may be Baptists or Methodists, and we can maybe have them come to our beautiful facility, and we can fill up our facility. because we can't survive as an apostolic church, and we just won't say anything about doctrine. They got the wrong preacher when they got me. We're not ashamed of the cross. We're not ashamed of the Jesus name message. We believe in the power of healing and deliverance and miracles and signs and wonders. We started preaching. And we started preaching Jesus. And we started preaching power. We started preaching the word of God. Just preach the word. We don't need fancy stories. We need the word of God. He sent his word and healed him. There's something that takes place when we start preaching God's word. He sends healing. We had one brother. It was all Caucasians except one brother, a brother from Nigeria, Brother Nicholas, who's still with the church today and is a part of the board. And I was trying to find a clothes, a dry cleaner. And I was going to a place, and I thought I'd go to this other place. I walked in this place, and this was owned by some Jewish people, and they were talking about how wonderful being gay was, and I turned around and walked out. I went down to a little dry cleaner, Northwest Dry Cleaners in Columbus on Go Down. A little Korean lady, Sister Okay-san, was there, and I said, I dropped my clothes off. I said, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. She said, where's the church at? I said, down there on Kenny Road. She goes, it's dead. I said, come back. It may not be dead anymore. So she came to church with her husband. And wasn't long. She invited some Kenyans. And Sister Nama Chanja came to church. And she was from a friend's church in Kenya. And Kengot, and she came to church, and she wanted the Holy Ghost. And she walked down and started walking down the front. I said, what do you need? She goes, I want the Holy Ghost. I said, lift your hands up. And I didn't even get to touch her head. Boom, she started talking in tongues. And so she became Mama Nama Chanja, who began to bring a lot of Kenyans to church. And then Sister Okay-san says, Pastor, I got a Bible study I want you to go over here too. So I go over to this Bible study, Roland Employo, and the Filipino group was having a Bible study, and I walked in there. It was in my blue jeans. I didn't tell them I was a preacher, and went into the Bible study, and we had Bible study. Some lady was teaching about the gifts of the Spirit. Obviously, she didn't know anything about them, never experienced them, and they got through and went around and asked people to put in a little bit of comment, and so I just mentioned a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit, and the Brother Roland, whose home it was, he says, you'll come here next week and teach us. Now, he don't know I'm a preacher, but he feels something. So next week I come with my Bible. They still don't know I'm a preacher. We have our little Bible study. They do some singing. We do our Bible study. And we're sitting around the table because that's what Filipinos do. They like to eat buffet style, Olympia and all that good food. And we're sitting around the table. And I says, where's your son CJ? He said, he's sick in the room. I said, go get him. Tell him to come out of here. God's going to heal him. So CJ come out of the room. We prayed for him, and God healed him. Before the night was over, we had two ladies on the floor speaking in tongues. I baptized them in Jesus' name in the bathtub. They still don't know I'm a preacher. They're just feeling, listen, friend, this isn't about our position and our title. It's about a God who's looking for the lost. Can you hear their cry? Come on, you may have your act together, but somewhere this morning somebody's woken up and said, I need to change my life. Where can they go and find that power? Here. Now, today, it's available. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can you hear the cry? We went back week after week, and there it was. Finally, they said, where you go to church? I said, a pastor over here. You a pastor? You got to tell people you're a pastor. I'm a pastor. These signs shall follow them that believe. You got that power. You got the Holy Ghost. You got that power to cast out devils. When you run into a devil school, you don't say, I got to call my pastor. You step up and say, my name's Solomon. I don't have just a bright coat. I've got the name that's above every name, the name that every knee shall bow. Matter of fact, when we come in the house of God, we ought to say, Satan, bow to the name of Jesus. Every spirit in here that's contrary to what God wants to accomplish today, bow in the name of Jesus. So we had an Egyptian couple. They speak English, Arabic, and Japanese. And Brother Haitham and his wife Rehan, and there was a Syrian couple, and they wanted to do a Bible study. They came, they were Coptic Christians, but they felt something in our church they didn't feel anywhere else. Pastor, will you come teach us a Bible study? I don't know how it works with you, but I've dealt with a lot of people that's not hungry. You got to beg them for a Bible study. And you get a Bible study started, and about the third time, you know, we got soccer. You know, Christmas is coming. They got all kinds of excuses. But excuses, my friend, are like hourglass sand. When they're used up, you're all out of time. But these people weren't. We went from the exploring God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Now, it took us a long time because we had to do a verse in English and a verse in Arabic because one of the lady from Syria, Fida, who couldn't speak English, Harley, we read it in Arabic. And it was good we did because words like atonement. Now, these people speak good English. They speak better English than I do. They speak good English. But they didn't know words like atonement. But when they read it in Arabic, they understood some of the terminology that was in the Bible. And it was kind of neat watching the light goes on because as they're looking at the Word of God, they're going, why do we do what we do? Why aren't we doing that? And we finished that Bible study probably a year or so later, and they started having tears in their eye, our last lesson. Oh, Pastor, can we go on with Bible study? I said, sure. We took them through the book of Acts. Verse by verse, we got through the book of Acts. They go, can we go through that first Bible study again? I said, sure can. This time we went search for truth. We're still doing Bible studies every Monday night there at Haitham and Rehan's house because God is looking for hungry people that are ready for deliverance. And you got to understand, when you get desperate enough to call out to Jesus, He is available. When the Savior, got some old timers in here, reached down for me. When He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God's only Son. When the Savior, hey, I know where He bought me from. You don't know like I know what He's done for me. When you get this thing down inside of you, friend, you've got a song and a testimony. I would have loved to know what Zacchaeus heard that caused him to run like a little child. Now, in those days, running was for the young kids. Come here, young man. Go and help me here. Can you help me? Come here. Help me. Come here, Solomon. Show that big, nice coat out. Open that up and show him what it looks like on the inside. No, turn around there and show. In Sunday school, we used to sing this song, I am special. I am special. If you look, you will see. Come on. Won't you sing it with me? Take your finger and say, I am special. Not because of coat He's got on, but because He is a child of God. Because He has flesh, blood, and he has a soul. Try that. I am special. I am special. I am special. If you look, you will see some are very special. Some are very special. Come on. Look at. Come on, sis. It, I am special. I am special. I may not be special to you. You may not be special to me. Wait a minute. Come here, Brother Solomon. Please release me and let me go. Not yet. Huh? You got to understand, I'm special to him. I'm special to him. Like that little boy that was standing on the dock. He's hollering at that big ship, hey, you can't go without me. That ship's heading out toward the sea. Some old man says, you better hush up, little boy. That boat ain't coming back for you. Hey, you can't go. I'm not on there. Pretty soon that big boat turned around and came back. He told that boy, he says, you must be special. He said, my daddy's the captain of that boat. Can I tell you, hey, just be quiet. God's not going to, hey, you got to understand something. He will hear your cry. Now, run. I didn't say jump. Yeah, keep going. Yeah. There you go. Hey. Now, thank you, Brother Solomon. Now you can be seated and catch your breath. Good job. You think that jacket's bright? Look at them socks, man. Now, you expected to see young children and young people running. But Zacchaeus wasn't a young man. And for him to roll up his gird, his garment, and to bare his legs was shameful. But listen, when you want to touch Jesus, you really don't care what you look like. I'm here to tell you some of the things that stops revival in our church, some things that stop you from getting what you need from God. He's looking for children who will simply respond to him out of their heart. What do they say? Who cares what they say?
You say, well, I care what people say.
If you won the lottery and you won about $7 million, you wouldn't care if you run out in the road in your pajamas. You can buy some new friends if you got $7 million. There's something better in this room today than a $7 million. There's water baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. There's the infilling of the Holy Ghost to give you power to overcome. And so this young man, this little stature man, he heard Jesus would be coming. And he just had to see Jesus.
Who's preaching today?
Who cares? I come here to see Jesus. Who's singing? What songs are they singing? Who cares? I've come to worship him. Because when he gets lifted up, he'll draw all men. What this place has got to become to be a soul-saving station is there has to be a report go out of this room. Hey, there's hope at that church. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you come from. Jesus is in that house. And Jesus don't care where you come from. Jesus don't know how bad you're messed up. We're here to say there's help in the house today. Can you imagine this chief tax collector who nobody wanted anything to do with? Can you imagine? He had to kind of listen closely as he heard people start to talk. Perhaps he may have heard about the man that was let down from the roof who couldn't walk, how his four friends just got him to Jesus. If you don't know what to do to say, just get him in the house of God. And Jesus forgave his sins. How about it? Maybe it might have been that woman caught in the very act of adultery that everybody's expecting and demanding her to be stoned like the law says. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and be free again. I think as he heard some of these stories, something inside him said, you know, just maybe Jesus can save me. There's a world filled of backsliders. There's a world filled with people who have never heard about Jesus. That's one, they don't even know what salvation is. But tell them your testimony. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus saved me. Oh, yes, he did. That's why I sing, Jesus is the best thing. Jesus is the best thing. When you've tried everything else, try Jesus, because Jesus never fails. And I perhaps think about Zacchaeus said, oh, if I could just have another chance. You may not get that with people. You mess up, man, there's people who blackball you. There's people that'll cast you aside. Not with Jesus. Somebody told me one time, if that was my boy, I'd beat him. I said, if that was your boy, I'd beat him too. Sometimes he needs a little spanking. But sometimes he needs a little bit of love. Amen? Anybody out here need some love? Anybody here need a second chance? Or perhaps it was Mary who Jesus cast seven devils out of. He probably thought, well, I know I got a couple devils, but seven? Maybe I'm not that bad. Perhaps it was when Jesus parked that boat and it was that man in the country of the Gadarenes who had a legion of devils. That's perhaps anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 devils. I think when Zacchaeus heard that, he goes, man, I was thinking I might have had seven. But 3,000 to 6,000, I don't think I'm that bad. What I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't matter how many things are stacked against you. It doesn't matter how your children or those you love that's walked away from the church. It doesn't matter what it looks like today and what they might be saying. If you can listen closely, you might hear them say, God, I miss my time with you. And you can hear the cry of the lost. Can you hear it today? If you can't hear from this world, can you hear those that died and went to hell shouting, please, somebody, preacher, preach to my family. Tell them how horrible this is. This is your only shot on this world to get right with God. And that 7 or 3,000 to 6,000 devils was no match for Jesus Christ. But Jesus set him free. I am convinced, Pastor, that the world will never be free until the redeemed get free. Oh, you would never miss a service. You'd make sure you pay your tithe. But oh my, I shall not be moved. It's not all in the motions, it's not. I come to Kenny Road, there's a lady, she said, nah, Pastor, I'm not emotional. I went there in 2003. That's the year the Buckeyes won the national championship. I got voted in a few days before that. And the new family had me over to her. Pastor, we want to have your house for a Buckeye. Watch the national championship. And this lady who is not emotional in church, the Buckeyes scored. And she jumped up on that couch. I said, what? I thought you're not emotional. The world out here is painting themselves all kinds of colors, going to ball games, 30 below zero, taking their shirts off because they're fanatics. And we come to the house of God, the one who died on the cross, and we're not going to show no emotions. Come on, church. The world ain't going to get free. Our loved ones aren't going to be free until we get free. Woo! Take these shackles off my feet so I can dance. The young people, they wanted to sing a song. They remember that song was popular? Anybody remember that song? Take these shackles off my feet so I can dance. His young girls, they said, Pastor, we want to sing that song. Take these shackles. I said, listen, there's no shackles on your feet. You ain't been dancing. Come on, child of God. Paul and Silas might have been bound in a jail cell somewhere, but they were free in their spirit. You may not be having everything going the way you wanted in your life, but I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost has set you free. You need to act like it. What kind of sinner that's bound by drugs and alcohol, whose life is miserable, is going to come sit on a pew with us? We're happy people. Yes, we are. Been baptized in lemon juice. We ain't smiled since we got saved because there's nothing we can do. Hogwash. Amen. I'm here to tell you, friend, it's better than alcohol. It's better than drugs. It's better than anything else you can get because there is a world. Can you hear the cry? Can you hear the cry? They may not be who you think they should be, like Zacchaeus. He's the last one they're going to go invite to church. Not him. I'm going to tell you, you work with some people. You probably, you know, you hear him cussing and all the stuff going. You think, how do I? Nah. That's the one you need to ask. That's the one that's miserable. That person's got their hair all painted pink and orange, and they don't know whether they're male or female. They think they're a cat or a dog. They're the best candidate for the house of God. Because the devil has them confused. The devil has them confused. They feel like they're lost and there's no hope. We're coming. Hold on. We're coming. We can hear your cry. Oh, we're going to pray. We're going to intercede from the pulpit. Amen. From the altar to the door. We're going to pray, Lord, save my children. Can you hear their cry? Amen. You may talk to them about the Lord and they don't want to hear anything about it. But downside, they're crying, oh, I wish I had salvation. And so Zacchaeus climbs that tree, just hoping, perhaps, that Jesus can forgive me. He had the riches. He had the wealth. The world may try to satisfy. You may search the world over. But you'll be just as before. I'm thankful that Jesus satisfies the hungry soul. If you can cry out to God today, He will hear your cry. He will not turn you away. He will turn your mourning into dancing. Yes, He's no longer this young man whose brother came to our church. He found the Lord in prison and was coming to our church, very faithful, very successful businessman. Had lawn care and snow removal and does egress windows. His brother was strung out on drugs, and he was working for his brother, and his brother would take his brother's equipment and take it to pawn shops and pawn it off. He would pawn off those equipment. And my friend, I said, John, what are you doing, man? My friend would go to the pawn shops looking around and finding his equipment he owned, and he would buy it back. He kept his brother employed. His brother kept doing that. But just about, it wasn't too long, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I went to participate in a wedding. And there's him and his brother sitting there. And that's as close as Jesus you find. We've written people off. Most dangerous place to be is a child of God in a church house, just coming and going through the motions. But if we can listen today, we're going to be participating with some food and fellowship, and that's vital, and I'm looking forward to meeting some of you. But there's a world. There's people that don't have food, that's sleeping under a bridge somewhere. they're a candidate to hear the gospel message. Can you hear the cry? Can you hear the cry? Their cry sounds a little different than what we're used to hearing. Paul, here's a cry from a man in Macedonia. Come! Music can gather around if you like. I'm about done. Come to Macedonia and help us. Come to Richmond, Ohio. Help us. Maybe it's your workplace, wherever you work. You work with them every day. Don't wait until they commit suicide before you offer them a chance to come. And maybe instead of just inviting them to church, maybe you just sit down and have a meal with them and say, I want to know more about you. And as they maybe perhaps tell you about their life and how they at one time had it all together, but they've made so many mistakes that it's over, it's finished. And let them know, listen, it's never finished with Jesus. It's never finished with Jesus. It's too late. She's 87 years old. She is in a senior living place. My mother lived in one building, and there was another building like it. We was doing Bible study where my mother is. The Lebos actually started it and did it for about 20 years before Brother Lebo wasn't able to do it. After COVID, we didn't want to leave that, so we went to that place. We started going there and teaching, and the place across the street says, Pastor, would you please, if you don't mind, could you come over to our facility too and teach Bible study? We can't get the previous pastor to come back, so we need some help. I said, what's wrong? She says, well, since COVID, we have a couple people that's never taken a bath for 2 years. They're locked in their house, locked in their apartment, watching the news and fearful. Today, we are facing an election coming up, and there's anxiety. What's going to be the outcome? What will happen? This great country that once had some scruples, that once had some God awareness, is a day defiantly boasting and bragging. We don't need God. Yet, in our schools, there's a cry. Listen closely. Will you help me? Paul and Silas, heading towards Macedonia, would join a prayer group, would cast a spirit of divination out of a lady. It would cause them to be put in jail. I don't know what it's going to cost you to win a soul. Are you really interested in soul winning? I can tell it's going to cost you something. You're going to invest time and pour into people who's going to walk away. But don't give up. God needs us to have his mind. Why are we going through Jericho? That place is to be cursed. Going through here, you don't see it, but I saw it in prayer. There's a man up here that's made so many mistakes. Maybe it's a wayward son that has blowed your money on drugs and has disgraced you. Maybe it's somebody used to come to church that has made so many bad choices that today they don't know where to turn. They walk in here, would you say, we haven't seen you here sign the guest visitor's book. How would you say, so glad to see you. We've been praying for you. I'm so glad you came today. You don't know how happy you make me feel.
but I know it's okay. I've made some mistakes too. And Jesus had mercy on me. And what I know that when Paul, who was called to go to, or I mean, Peter, when he was called to go to Cornelius' house, God had to spend him and show him the vision three times. It isn't he the man that stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, God's going to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. But he didn't believe it. He was prejudiced. I pray God would rid us today of prejudice. You got to have the mind of Christ. They wanted to make him king. But he said, no, I got to go find a lost soul. Where are you going to find him at? He's up in a tree somewhere. He thinks he's blew it. Everybody hates him. Nobody's ready to forgive him, but I'm ready to forgive him. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down out of your tree. Richmond, Ohio Apostolic Church, come on. It's time for us to climb down and come to an altar and say, God, help me. Unstop my ears. I gotta hear. Listen closely. Their cry is not help me. Their cry is help me. Help me. They're so hurting. They're so full of shame. They're so full of failure. They're so hopeless. They feel like I just might as well commit suicide. There's no hope for me. But I hear a sound of an army. Where are you going? To a banquet? No. To a prayer meeting. To a Bible study. I'm answering the call. And so Paul and Silas, at midnight, if they would be like many of us today, I'm just trying to preach the gospel. Here I am. God, is this the way you treat your people? Sometimes God will put you at a place. Maybe it's a hospital. Maybe it's some place you don't like and feel uncomfortable about. But it's not about you. And it's not about me. It's got to be about him and the lost. Thank God you're saved. Thank God you're on your way to heaven. But what about somebody else? Can you hear the cry of the lost? Maybe it's your son, it's your daughter, maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's somebody you don't even know. Maybe it's somebody you see sitting on the corner under a bridge at work. Maybe it's somebody you can't stand. Maybe it's somebody else nobody else likes and you're the only friend they have. Don't give up on them. I know their actions may cause them to be hated, but there's a God who today, with arms open wide, don't let Jesus become a stranger. And so today, I challenge you. We used to sing a song, said, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. And win that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul through me. Maybe it's been too long since you felt the pain of being lost. But come. Come. If you're not ready to meet God, come. If you're in this place and you've been saved for 85 years, and nothing ever vile came out of your mouth, could you come and weep for somebody as a cry? Redmond Church, there's houses around here Charlie Hess, a local attorney, came by the church early, about 7 o'clock in the morning. I like to get to church early, about 6, 5, so at least I can get there, get my mind right. And Charlie, an attorney, knocked on the door. He said, "What time service today?" I said, "We have Bible study at 9:30, morning man, and then we have worship at 11. He said, "I'll be back." He walked into our church. He sat through Bible study. And our worship service was kind of a little bit loud, and it was quite different than what he was used to. And he says, "Pastor, I got to tell you, 10 years ago I'd have walked out of church like this, but I need something." I'm talking about a guy that had a nice house, a good name, a lovely family. And while he had all the possessions and all the goods this world could afford him, he was miserable without God. I'm here to tell you, God's going to use you. But you got to put on his mind, listen, listen, listen. Maybe it's a person ahead of you at the grocery store. Listen. They're fumbling for some change. They're fumbling. You can see they're distraught. They got an alcoholic son or daughter. Maybe trying to raise their grandchildren. The world's lost. Hey, can somebody help me? I hear a strong cry. I can hear the cries. You've been crying for your loss. It's going to happen. But until they get set free, I think it's time for some of us to get set free. In the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus.